Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, everybody, and welcome to the hottest new show on the internet, where your host is an innovator, motivator, captivator, an inspirator, and an authoress. She comes raw and uncut. Sit back and relax. You're about to be unmasked by authoress Terry E. Lyle. Every Friday, right here, 7:30 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you.
to fight today.
You know, someone asked me recently, what do I do when I have some downtime? So I thought about this for a moment. And to my mind, I thought about a nice hot soothing bubble bath, candles, a nice glass of wine, with just the right book to read. And instantly I thought about authoress Terry E. Lyle, because I knew I was guaranteed to get a good laugh or some soul searching. Just like a few of her other books, Insane, Peeling Back the Mask, and her latest, Exposed. This author has written 9 books, and I can't pick a favorite. But my advice to you is make your own choice by going to her personal website, where she even autographs the books for free at www.terrylyle.com, or go to Author House, Amazon, Barnes & Noble, or your local retailer to get your copy and start your collection today. Because this is the last time I'm going to say that you can't borrow mine.
Well, welcome everybody to another episode of Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lyle and Shalonda. And I first must apologize for starting at 8 instead of 7:30. For some particular reason, there were some audio problems. You couldn't hear anything. And for my listeners that I lost, I'm sorry that I've lost you, but it's one of those things. I don't know if it got anything to do with our last week guest on the paranormal, because that show was freaky. I mean, you know, things was happening all crazy, and I thought I was hearing something. I got all my hair on the back of my neck stood up, and then the show just cut off by itself. So I was just saying a few minutes ago, get him away from me, get thee behind me, Satan, I'm going to make you my footstool, because I'm not feeling that, not today, because today is a show about bringing the families back. And on this particular show tonight, we want people that have been disconnected with loved ones or friends to give you shout-outs. We want people that haven't seen their relatives in a long time and don't know where they're at, give a shout out. We want people who have a testimony about how good God has been to them in their life and brought them through a hard road. We want you on the show today to give a shout out. We want people out there that need to apologize because you just messed up along the way. And some people, you know, you felt bad and you couldn't do it then. This is the time to gird up your loins and apologize. Free your soul and free your mind from that bondage and baggage that's got you held back. You know, this is a show about bringing our families back. This is a show about love, praise, and testimony. And we're going to start that show with my guest and my friend, Elder Gregory Patterson, but I first want to say hello to my co-host, Shalonda. How you doing, darling?
I'm great. How are you, Miss Terry?
Oh, I'm better now, but I was panicking for a few minutes. I said, what happened? The show ain't on my head. Get out! Oh, Lord. I just shut the whole thing down. I was nervous.
Right.
But we're going to start our show with praise because we got Elder Gregory Damon Patterson with us today, and I thank him for even suggesting this show topic, bringing the families back. And we're going to introduce him and let him start our show off with praise because that's how we're going to do it today. How you doing, Elder Patterson? Oh, well, it would be nice if I unmute his mic. I'm going to blame my co-host for that.
Hear me now?
How you doing, Elder Patterson?
I'm good. How are you?
Oh, I'm better now that we got audio.
Yeah,
but I would love for you to start our show off with praise so we can start off on the right foot and give God all the glory.
Okay. Let us pray. Eternal God, we come tonight just to say thank you. We thank you for another day's journey. We thank you, God, for how good and how merciful you've been to us, God. We thank you, God, for keeping us up until this very moment, God. Now, God, we ask, God, that you would be in the midst of this talk, God, tonight, God, that as we discuss family issues, God, and just relative issues, God, that you will be within the midst of us, God. And we pray, God, that we do, if we do or say anything, God, to take your glory from you, God, we give it back to you right now, God. In the name of Jesus, we pray, God. We pray, God, that you will be glorified tonight, God, and that the devil will be horrified. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
In Jesus' name, amen. That's wonderful. We're going to glorify God and horrify the devil. I like the way you put that. I think I might have to use that one. But anyway, I guess I'm going to start off, and I just want to thank the Lord that I still have my mom in my life. My mom is one of nine children, and she's the last one standing. Now, I can't tell how that feels because I still have my own siblings. But when you come from a big family and you're the last one standing, I'm sure somewhere in your mind you're probably saying, why me, Lord? You know, and somewhere else in your mind you're probably saying, well, what do I do now? My brothers and my sisters, they're all gone. What has God got planned for me? What do he expect for me? But I'm grateful that she's still here because my mom, yeah, she gave me life, but my mom is also my best friend. My mom is someone I can tell my darkest secrets to, and she don't look at me like, yeah, messed up. My mom is the person that kept me from not committing suicide a long time ago because my life had just got so bogged down and burdened upon me, and this stuff just like, you know, this piled on, and I just felt like, you know, why am I here? Because I'm sure if you haven't been there yet, if you live long enough, you will. You're going to go through some stuff, and you'll be saying, Lord, why me? And sometimes it's hard to hang on when you're feeling so low that you can't look up, you know. And I thank God that my mom is still here because she's teaching me how to be a better grandmother to my own grandkids because of her unconditional agape love that she has for me. You know, so I just pray that the Lord hear me when I say, bless this woman. Keep her strong. Keep her heart and her mind light. Let her know that, yes, she's the last one of her siblings, but we still need her here. We still need her guidance. And help her, you know, just when she's feeling, you know, she by herself or it's like it's too late to call somebody, tell her mind the devil is a lie. Call her daughter. Call Terry Lyle because you can call me at 3 in the morning, 4 in the morning. I don't care if I'm asleep. Wake me up if you need to talk. I'm there. I won't chastise you for calling late because if you're calling me, it got to be a reason. If you just want to talk, then I'll listen or fall asleep on a pillow. But whatever the case may be, I want to thank God this day for having my mother still here, Mrs. Lola Matthews out of Lawrence, South Carolina. What a wonderful woman, a Christian soldier. I just thank her for being there. And while I'm on the phone saying thanks to her, I want to give a shout-out to some friends of mine. I want to start with Manya Washington, who went to Cuba, and I'm glad that she's back in USA, safe and sound. I want to say hi to my girlfriend, Louise Childs, out of Lawrence, South Carolina. And another lady there, Mrs. Lyles, that goes to Mount Zion Church in Lawrence, South Carolina. I want to thank my friend James Halsey out of Baltimore, Maryland, who is my friend, who hang in there with me. He supports me and my show. I want to thank my friend Dillian and Curtis Holt here in Columbus, Georgia. Denise Huckabee and her family out of North Carolina. I think it's Durham, North Carolina. I want to thank all my friends, Daryl Smith in California, Mark Real in California, Wayne Ditchfield in Australia, and all my friends north to south, east and west. I can't remember you all, but I just want to thank you all for sharing this moment to be with us. And I'm going to give it over to Shalonda, and then we're going to let Elder Patterson do his thing and start us off. But Shalonda, is anyone you'd like to say shout out to at this particular time?
To my brother, my bestie, my brother Steven. We like two of a kind there. I'd like to give a shout out with him. Me and him had a long conversation today, which we hadn't had a long conversation in like maybe 2 or 3 months, where we used to have them almost daily. It was just good to sit down and talk to him for a while since everybody was at a standstill today. It was a good thing to do. Always to my father, Stanley Sneed. I love him to death. He's my number one. He's my cheerleader. And he keeps me sane. He really does, even though we drive him crazy. So those are two men in my life that just, they'll drive me crazy, and I still love them to death the next day. To my mother, she's more than a mother to me. She's another one of my best friends. I could call her and talk to her about anything in the world. And as outlandish as some of my requests or some of the things I say can be, she still sits there with a calm face, even though she's probably blowing up in her mind, but she sits there with a calm face and she actually listens to what I have to say. Basically, that's the best parts of my family, my children, that I love every day. They're my driving force. Even when I want to give up, they're right there. Once I look in their face, I'm ready to just keep going. That's the only thing I can say is I love them all, and I couldn't imagine
Wonderful.
My life without any of them.
And I must be remiss if I didn't say this. I want to say a shout-out and tell this person that I love them. They're my best friend. My brother used to call him my girlfriend because we was always hanging tough. And this is my friend Thomas Robinson. I call him Robbie, and his precious daughter, Mesa Dia. And he got a grandbaby now, but Robbie, if you're listening in Baltimore, honey, I love you. Hugs and kisses, darling. And also a friend of mine's from Whitney, Nebraska, Mr. Buster and Kelly Moore. How you doing? Now, Robbie, if anybody who know me, they know he was my partner in crime. We was paramedics together, and a lot of days, man, when it was rough out there and I was sick and tired of working in the wee hours on that ambulance in the snow, this brother, sometime I got sick, I just had to sit down, and he held it up, man. You know, he kept it going. They didn't know I was sick, but he just kept it going. You know, he did what he had to do, and sometime I'd be sitting over on the edge, feel like I want to throw up, but I didn't call in sick because, you know, he had my back, I had his, and he one of my bestest friend. And before I get to running my mouth too long, I'm going to let Elder Patterson have the mic, tell me why he was inspired for us to do this show, and let him say what he want to say. Go ahead, Greg. Do your thing, darling.
Well, good afternoon.
Good evening for us.
Yeah, it is. It's evening for me, too. It's been a long day. Actually, like I said, especially the reason why I thought that it would be nice to do this particular segment is because, I mean, I get a lot of inbox messages of people around the world that, you know, are suffering in silence with family issues. I mean, rather it's something that happened in the past and they just don't speak anymore. And, I mean, 10 and 15 years have gone by and they just don't have that relationship. And, I mean, you know, and the only time that they actually see each other or see other members of their family is when something tragic happens. And my goal is, in 2014, is to, you know, bring the family back to a point of love and a point of needing each other. And I think that, you know, if we could ever get the family back to that point, I mean, that's going to strengthen our communities. Because I remember, I'm only 36, but I remember being able to sleep and not even lock the door. And, you know, the neighborhood mothers would discipline us, and we would walk by churches, and, you know, we would actually have more respect for a church. We wouldn't blast our music, and, you know, anytime we were walking past the church, we would always reverence it. And those things are missing now. I mean, you know, I run into a lot of young people that don't even know anything about God because it's not taught in their home. So those are my goals and my ideas for this segment.
Well, you know, Elder Patterson, you made a good point, because that was the same way for us growing up. You know, when we would walk past the church, we were like, you know, shut up. You know, we was talking loud, a bunch of girls in a group, you know, or we had our, you know, music box, you know, jukebox or whatever you call it, boom box, okay, and we wouldn't be blasting it because it was like a sign of disrespect. Or when, you know, go somewhere and we wasn't acting all crazy, other parents could correct you because they was trying to bring their children up in the church as well. So I can truly relate to that. But you know, we're in a shameless society where people don't have any respect for themselves, and so naturally they don't have no respect for church or people around them. So you're right. We need to bring back morality. We need to bring back God in our life. We need to stop acting like it's all about us, because God, he keeps us in our right mind. So don't think there's nothing that we do special. I don't care how many vitamin pills you be swallowing. I don't care how many laps around the track you're running. Ain't nothing special about you, because you might be buffed, you might be happy, but God can make you feeble in your mind and feeble in your walk. So we got to give him some praise. And it's true. We got to bring the families back, and we got to start with respect for ourselves and respect for God, you know, because it starts with God first. You know, you got to respect, you know, who blesses us with what we have. You might not have as much as some people have, but nevertheless, he blessed you for all the things that you have in your life that you could have not had, you know. So I agree. So, Elder Patterson, is there anyone special back in the day or currently now that you might want to give a shout-out to, or you want to share a story of testimony? Because you've got one, you know, about your medical illness that, you know, almost took you away from us. But, yeah, would you like to share with us?
I mean, I would definitely have to give a shout-out to my grandmother and my great-grandmother. I mean, they saw stuff in me that I didn't see in myself, and they made sure that I was in church. My great-grandmother has gone on to be with the Lord. And it's funny, her funeral was the same year that I graduated from high school in 1996, but it was actually on my birthday, January the 5th. And those are things that I would never forget. You know, when most kids were out playing football, you know, I would go and visit her in the rest home, and I would sing to the little ladies in the rest home. And, you know, those things have stayed with me throughout my elder years. And my grandmother is still alive. I mean, she's getting a little in age now, and, you know, the doctors are saying that she has a little Alzheimer's. And, you know, I can tell the difference, because a lot of times when I talk to her, I mean, there are things that she don't remember, or she'll repeat herself several times. But at the end of the day, you know, that's my heart, that's my love. And, you know, it's a wonderful thing to have her here. I mean, I've witnessed within the past few years, she had about 16 brothers and sisters, and I think it's only three of them that's left now. And within the past 5 years, they've just been dying back to back.
Wow. Yeah, well, like we've always said in my church, we're just passing through. This earth is not our home, and if we live right and do what's right, then we'll make it to glory on the right side, because I want to be counted with the lambs and not the goats. I want to be on the right-hand side of God, you know.
Yeah,
but
right.
Is there anyone that you would like to apologize to? Because I'm going to get into that, too, because we all have some apologies that we need to get off our chest and may not have made them, you know. So I'm going to that you do the honors first, and I'm going to do mine next, and then I'm going to let Shalonda give her apologies. And then we're going to open up the line.
If there was someone that I would apologize to, that would just be very interesting. That's a nice question. I would have to go back to an instance. A young lady actually proposed to me, and I wasn't ready at the time. I mean, I didn't even see her in that light. So I think she kind of took it the wrong way. And, you know, I lost that relationship, and it, you know, it really meant a lot to me because she was a friend first. And but at the time, like I said, that's not what I wanted. I mean, my goal was to preach, and that's it. And, you know, her desire was to marry a preacher. And I think that, you know, like, she actually proposed to me, so, and I think that by my rejecting her proposal, you know, just discredited our friendship, so we don't even communicate now at all.
Well, you know, Elder Patterson, if that's all you got to apologize, oh, Lord, I'm afraid to give mine, but I am, you know, I wish that all I had to apologize for, but, you know, I'm going to keep it real. I remember I used to live in California, and this old lady, I was working for social services. I would have to come over and, you know, help with her bathing, her making her groceries, doing her hair, blah, 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 blah. And this lady was nice to me, Miss Mary. She's gone on to glory now, but I remember when I had to go and make market for her, I would find myself buying a couple little things for myself because she never checked the receipt. And that bothered me for the longest time. And over the years, I've apologized for that. But that bothers me so much because now that I see what it's like for people around me that's getting older, like my mom and friends of mine, I just don't want no one in their space and taking something from them, because what you might call a pack of cookies or something, $2, whatever, might not seem significant, but when someone's on a fixed income, it means a whole lot to them, you know. And, you know, I was feeling myself, oh, she ain't going to know a pack of cookies, you know, or something, you know. It was something stupid, you know, but I apologize for that, you know, and it still bothers me because when I made my apologies, I made my apologies to God. I didn't apologize to the person. And when it came down to the time when I was available to do that, she was no longer here, you know. So then I had to make another apology and saying, you know, God, please let this message get to her that, you know, I'm sorry I did that. But, you know, you're dealing with a lot of people. We're getting older. All of us are getting older, and some are older than others. But I would like to think that if my mom ever needed someone to help her and she trusted them to go to the market for her, don't take her money because, you know, everybody need all their little pennies. And that kind of bothered me. So I just want to say that on the air that that's something that I felt I needed to apologize for. And, Shalonda, I'm going to let you give your apologies first, and I'm going to just remind my listeners that if you want to give a testimony, you want to give a shout-out, you want to make an apology, to call 347-945-6003 and hit the number one key, then you will let me know that you got your hand up. Otherwise, you'll be back there in the background. No one knows you're there but me, and I won't put your game out, you know, that you're listening in. But, Shalonda, is there something you'd like to apologize for?
Not necessarily apologize for. I'm not one for apologies. I try to watch what I do as I go along in life because I am one that believe in karma and what goes around comes around. But I know that as a young teenager, I did a lot of things, and I know you know. super, super selfish about, and I would just like to apologize to my parents about being so super selfish. I mean, it's only been maybe 4 or 5 years now that I haven't been completely just selfish because, you know, I was the only girl out of so many men, you know, that was in my house. And it, like my stepmother, she was gone, and I just completely went left field on everybody. And I believe that my father was supposed to do for me. You know, that's the way he raised us. You know, I was the spoiled brat. And anything I called or anything I said I wanted, I got. And I took that into my adulthood. you know, and I mean, so far into my adulthood where I was in like my late 30s where my father was like, I'm not doing anything else for you. And that's the end of that. So I just like to apologize for my selfishness. I know I partied from like 11 years old to 28, literally when they said you're pregnant for the first time. That was when all my partying stopped. Until that point, I was completely selfish with my family, and I did what I wanted to do, how I wanted to do it, when I wanted to do it. Not saying that I was a bad child, but I know that I was someone to be contented with. You know what I'm saying? So I just like to apologize to my grandparents and my parents for the hell I might have put them through. Yeah, I really can't even. I know that my main sin in life is like my selfishness, you know, because I think about me first. And you know how I used to be. It was about
right.
Mom, and that was that.
Well, I know what. We're going to take a small break, but we have a lot of callers on the line, and they're very quiet. No one is pressing that one key because they are afraid to open up. But after I play this song, I would hope that y'all would go ahead and open up and hit the number one key and just give a shout-out. Tell one of your relatives that you missed talking to them. You haven't seen them in years. Tell one of your relatives that, you know, we're looking for you. What happened to you last Thanksgiving? You know, give a shout-out. Give a testimony. You know, and when we come back from the break, you know, Elder Patterson, he's going to share with you how he almost didn't make it with his bout with kidney failure. And we're going to take a small break, and we're going to be back. And 2 and 2.
almost feel a praise break. I said I feel a praise break. I said I feel a praise break. Because I ain't got no doubt in my mind that he can do it.
You know, someone asked me recently, what do I do when I have downtime? Thought about this for a moment, and in my mind I thought about a nice, hot, soothing bubble bath, candles, a nice glass of wine, with the right book to read. And instantly I thought about authorist Terry E. Lyle, because I knew I was guaranteed to get a good laugh or some soul searching, just like a few of her other books, Insane, Peeling Back the Mask, and her latest, Exposed. This author has written 9 books, and I can't pick a favorite. But my advice to you is to make your own choice by going to her personal website, where she even signs the books for free, at www.terrylyle.com. Or go to Author House, Amazon, Barnes & Noble's, or your local retailer to get a copy and start your own collection today. This is the last time I'm going to say, you can't borrow mine.
Well, welcome back to Unmasked with authoress Terry E. Lyle and Shalonda. And that song that you just heard was Lord, Do It For Me Right Now by Hezekiah Walker. Now, Hezekiah Walker is the senior minister to our guest tonight, Elder Patterson. So this brother, he's in the hands of people who's gone on before him and have won Grammy Awards and praising the Lord and putting out songs that makes the heart just feel some, you know, those words, Lord, do it for me right now. Because sometimes that's what you need. You need a breakthrough right now. Sometimes you can't afford to wait till tomorrow or the next day. You need a breakthrough right now because sometimes you feel like you can't go on, so you need it right now. So, Lord, I just want to thank you for waking me up today and surrounding me with people that I need to be surrounded with. I thank God for being raised in a very spiritual family, religious family. I thank God that my parents had the foresight to keep my honey up in church because I know that when all else fails, I know who to turn to. I thank God for the friends that I have that are godly friends, like my friend Lillian Holt. Now, she gets me. Now, people who knows me, they know I act a little silly. I'm a little goofy, but my heart is stayed on Jesus. But sometimes my mouth act like it's in the world. But people who know me, I am a Christian, you know. But sometimes I need people like Elder Patterson to keep working on me indirectly. He ain't saying, Terry, you need to stop with all that crap you're putting out. He just keep on loving on me and keep, you know, saying the right thing, you know, because God said he know how to get a hold of me and make me sit down and take notice. He first got my attention when that truck that I was in, that tractor trailer rolled down that hill and flipped over 4 or 5 times. I wasn't supposed to be here, but I'm still here. I'm banged up pretty bad, and I live with pain every day. Trust me, I do, you know. But, you know, he got my attention, and that's the problem with people today, just like myself. Sometimes God will get your attention, and then he holds you captive for a moment. And then when things start getting a little bit better, you start going somewhere else that you ain't supposed to be. Because people who know me, when I first wrote my first book, Brown Bag Poetry, man, I had all that sexual explicit stuff up in the book, and I don't care who didn't like it. But as I got closer in my walk with Jesus, my books started to get a little bit less sexual and more other things, you know. And this last book that I just put out just came in the mail this past week called Exposed. Now, you would think the title would mean that, she going there, but no. You know, this book, I have a lot of godly stuff in there, like the fragrance of faith out of the Gospel of Matthew. I have a lot of stuff in there that tell you how to get back to where you need to be, you know, how to love somebody, how to be a good friend, you know. But the book is good, but it shows my growth because it shows me that I'm getting away from all that mess, you know, because, yeah, it's mess,
you know, and I'm trying to do right. But, you know, I can't do it one big leap at a time because I got short legs. So I'm taking baby steps, but I'm getting to where I need to be because God is putting all in my circle people who are preaching Jesus all around me, starting from the top all the way to the bottom. People are talking about Jesus, and I know better. I know better. Daddy, a minister. Grandpappy, a minister. I know better. Bible school teacher. But sometimes I just need somebody to don't give up on me. Just keep speaking into my existence. Because if we're going to be Christians and say we are Christians, when somebody you know is messing up, if that person you know is in the bar, sometimes you need to go in that bar and get them off that stool and pull them out the door because they don't need to be there. And that's what you're telling. Brother, sister, you don't need to be here. Sometimes you got to go into the lion's den to bring the person out. You know, so, Lord, do it for me right now. Keep these angels and keep these saints around me to help me stay focused because I got a mansion with my name on it, but I won't make it there if I get to messing up. So I just want to say I thank you, Lord, for my family, my church family, my friends like that I surround myself with, Shalonda, all these people that's teaching me and preaching to my existence that God is alive, you know, so I can stop getting caught up with, you know, things of the world because I know that I'm just passing through because earth is not my home. So I just want to say that. I want to let my guest, Elder Patterson, share his testimony. And then I see I got a guest on the line who has a question or a comment, and I'll get to that person. But Elder Patterson, thank you for being here for this episode of Unmasked with authors Terry Elon and Shalonda.
Oh, thank you for the invite. It's always a pleasure to come on and, you know, be with the both of you guys.
Thank you, thank you, thank you.
Oh, it's on me?
It's on you, babe. All you.
Oh. Well, basically, I mean, I met authors Terry and Shalonda a few months ago, I mean, via the station. I shared with them my story. A few years ago, it's almost been about 8 years now, I am a forensic investigator, so I work for PricewaterhouseCoopers. When I was down in Miami working, and I thought I had the flu. And they sent me home to my mother, and, you know, the local hospital was treating me for the flu, and they said, oh, he just has the flu. It's going around real bad this year. So, you know, of course, they pumped me up with all kinds of meds and sent me back home, but things didn't get no better. It actually got a little worse, and they took me back to the hospital, and, you know, they said, oh, he just has a real bad flu, and it's going to pass in a few days, and, you know, I couldn't keep nothing on my in my body, in my system, so my sister said to my mother that, you know, this is not normal. We need to take him and get another opinion. They took me to another hospital, and that hospital did an assessment, and they realized that my kidneys had shut completely down, so I was in total renal failure. And, you know, they immediately hooked me up to a ventilator because they were saying that, you know, within 24 hours he's going to be dead if he doesn't get an emergency kidney transplant. That particular hospital, they didn't want to take the liability of it, so they told my parents, my mother, I mean, that they couldn't treat me there, that either she had to ship me to Charlotte or to Raleigh, North Carolina. Mind you, at the time, I was still living in New York. So Baptist Hospital agreed to take me, and so they airlifted me from the hospital, and the doctor had pretty much told my family that he'll be dead by the time he gets there. Not knowing that, you know, God had another plan. I mean, my mother had already made a decision that she wasn't going to leave me on a ventilator for long. She was going to go ahead and cut out the machine. A few days went by, and I didn't improve. I mean, things were just getting worse. And from my understanding, my body was deteriorating. I didn't even know I was really in the world. My mother had to share these stories with me. And they had decided that afternoon that they were going to turn the machine off. So they had a particular pastor to come in and to bless me and to pray for me and all that stuff. And, you know, I never forget it, I mean, because, they were saying that he kept telling me to accept God's will and not to take my family through this and to just go ahead and just die. But before they actually could pull the plug, I mean, just, you know, God stepped in and, you know, I began to become out of consciousness, and my kidney started working at a percentage where I was able to take dialysis to be treated. So they started me on emergency dialysis, and, you know, they told me that I was going to be on dialysis for the rest of my life, except I got a kidney transplant. So my brother had already made a decision that he was going to give me the kidney. So we were going through the process. It takes a while for you to actually find a match and to make sure that he's matchable, or that, you know, because even though we share the same genes, that doesn't necessarily mean that his kidney is going to work in my body. So we went through so many tests and so many procedures. But I'll never forget one day I was about to turn 30. I had went in one day, and the nurse was looking at me, because I'm such a comical person, because I started preaching when I was 14, and I just believed that God was going to heal me. I always said, God, I was not born to die like this. So some way, somehow, God has got to restore me. I mean, you know, and I even made a pact with God. I said, God, okay, if I got to stay like this, then just go ahead and take me, because, you know, I'm so youthful. I enjoy preaching. I like traveling. And if I can't do that, then I just didn't feel like I was no use to him anymore. But, you know, God assured me that he was going to heal my body. And, you know, I know that healing sometimes means death. I mean, because healing, you know, the Bible tells us that when he that should come shall come, and we're going to be like him, we're going to be perfect. And in order to be perfect, you have to die. So I went in one day to take the treatment, and the nurse, she was crying. I mean, she had tears in her eyes, and I was like, oh, my God. You know, the first thing that I thought, that she was going to tell me that I can't take this no more, and that I only had a few more days to live. And she looked at me, and she said, you don't need this no more. And I was like, huh? She said, no. She said, we ran a test, and your creatinine level has elevated, and your kidneys are working at 100%. You don't need dialysis no more.
Wow.
I couldn't believe it. I mean, it was a miracle. I mean, it's like I've never had a problem since that day. I mean, my kidneys have been completely restored. I mean, I have the marks on my chest from where I took dialysis to remind me of, you know, the things that I've gone through, and I share my story all the time. But that particular doctor said he has never seen anything like that, because he said there's only two ways you come off of dialysis, either death or you get a transplant. And
Back then,
I was under Blue Cross and Blue Shield, and they actually dropped me because I was out of network, so they wouldn't pay the medical bill. And that particular hospital, they wiped the bill. They paid the bill because they wanted to do a case study on me, and, you know, I'm here today.
That's God all by himself. You get the bill paid for, and you don't have to do dialysis. And, you know, that scar, yeah, that's to remind you how good God is. Every time you look at it, at least you forget. That's wonderful.
Well, that's what prompted me to write that book. I mean, the book is He Took the Pain, But He Left the Memories, and that's my memory. That's my memorial, my scar on my chest. Because, you know, every now and then we'll go through things in life, and sometimes God has to remind us of what he's already brought us out of. So that lets us know that there's nothing that he can't do for us.
Absolutely. Amen.
Because I know this weekend that just passed, I took my son down to see his father. I just was telling Miss Terry about it last week, that they had called him in for cornea replacement surgery because he went into renal failure in 2011, and he went blind in 2012. And he said the only thing he ever wanted to do was just see his son again and see his nieces and nephews' faces again. And he just went in for cornea replacement surgery, and while I was down there, they actually told him that Saturday when he went to dialysis that he was going on the kidney transplant list, because there was two people in the family that were compatible with him, but neither one of them wanted to give up their kidneys, and they just, I guess, scared. They won't give him a kidney, so he finally made it. They said that he had to be at a certain weight in everything to be on the transplant list. So he finally got on the kidney transplant list, and he just had his corneas replaced. So they said it's going to be like a 2-year process to see if he'll ever be able to see again. But I know that when we were down there, he actually could see like the outline of you. If you were in the light, he could see the outline of you now, where before he couldn't see anything. So So it's been a struggle with him, with my son, trying to keep him informed, even though he's 12, and he's really mature for his age. I tell him he acts like my grandfather all the time. and Stan, too, my father. But he's really, you can't sugarcoat it for him as a kid, because he'll look at you like, I know what's going on. I can get on the internet and pull this up and see. You know, you're one of them children. So you really got to be straightforward with him, but not as blunt. So I just took him down there so he could see his father, and see his father go through the process to show him that it is, you know, a brighter day that can come.
It is.
You know,
and
he's
it's
not
funny
condemned
that you said
to this.
About the cornea, because that was the first sign for me. You know, I kind of skipped over that part. When I was in Miami working, because like I told you, I used to move around a lot with the company, my eyes started bothering me first. And I had to have a partial cornea after I went through the kidney stuff. I couldn't see out of one eye. And that's the first sign to let you know that your kidneys are going bad. It's when, because I never wore glasses until now. So I had to have a partial cornea replacement. I'll never forget that. I mean, them drilling my eye and putting a little tissue or whatever. But, yeah, that's you know, I had, like, this white foam around my eye because the kidney purifies the body. And what happens is it causes, like, whenever your kidney can't purify your body and take out all the toxic acids, it has to come out somewhere. So a lot of times it infects the eyes or it infects other parts of the body. And it did that for me. It caused me to have a scar on my eye. So I had to have a partial cornea transplant.
Wow. Well, I see that we have Dale here on the line, and she has either a testimony or a comment or a question, but I'm going to let her say what she needs to say. Hello, Dale. How are you?
Hi, darling. Hi, Elder Patterson and Shalandra. How you guys doing this evening?
How are you?
I'm fantastic. Thank you. I have, I don't know if it's a testimony or a comment or whatever, but I just want to say that every time I hear you on the radio, Terry, when you're testifying or whatever, it brings me to tears. And, you know, I really can feel what you're feeling, and I understand, you know, what you're saying as far as, you know, God is not done with you yet. He's not done with a lot of us yet, you know, because I'm going to say this. I used to be a drug addict, and at one point I had OD'd three times, and I think, well, four times. The fourth time that I OD'd, my heart had stopped. So that meant when they got me to the hospital, I was DOA. Now, I didn't know anything until I came out of, I guess they had induced me to a coma, or either I was still out or whatever, but I didn't even know what had happened until the next day when I woke up. And I'm in the hospital bed, tubes everywhere, and I'm looking around. I don't even, you know, I can't comprehend what's going on. And a nurse, you know, came over, and so I said, you know, I'm asking her what had happened, you know, why am I here and all this and that. So she said, well, when they brought you in here last night, you were DOA. And I just couldn't grab it, you know, and I just said, oh, my goodness, you know. And that was like a time when I was going through some emotional traumas and changes in my life as far as, like, things that had happened to me when, you know, when I was younger and different things like that. But I can understand also when, you know, Elder Patterson has spoken of how he – how they had him on the life support and all those kind of, you know, things that they had done to him. And I do believe, because I had to learn these things because I didn't understand what was going on, you know, the times when I had OD'd and came back then, you know, the last time when I had actually OD'd and my heart had stopped beating, you know, just died, so to speak. But then I realized that after going through all the things I had went through, because I've been raped, I've been in domestic violent relationships, I've been robbed, I've been, you know, beat up, you know, just all these different things that happened to me in my life. And at one point I even said that I really wish that I could just die, not wanting to commit suicide, but I just said I'm just done. I'm just so tired of living. But when I really realized that, you know, it was a purpose and a reason why I had went through all the things I had went through and why God had kept me alive, was some of the reasons I found out, you know, and some of them, well, I found out one of the reasons after, you know, he had brought me back. But it was years and years later that I found out the reason. And that was because my mom had gotten sick, and she suffered with cancer. And it was me and my brother who, you know, took care of her in her last days. And it was me who had got, you know, made the arrangements for a funeral, you know, got all that done and this and that. So then I said, wow, that's probably why I'm still here. Then another incident had happened. You know, these incidents was happening, and I was right there to assist because my son had lost his wife, you know, a few years later after my mom had died. And I was, at that particular time, I was in a terrible car accident. So, you know, I'm just saying, I know that God keeps us here for a reason, and he uses us for a reason. And some things, sometimes I just sit down and I have to go back in my memory so deep and just see things that I've done. And I know that when we are disobedient towards God's will or his way, that it hurts his heart, and his heart hurts the world because he is all of our fathers. So I just sit down and I bring things and I actually, you know, have conversation with him, and I tell him, you know, I'm sorry I did this, I'm sorry I did that, please forgive me for this, forgive me for that, you know, and just digging things out of my memory, because it makes me feel that much better to know that I've asked him for his forgiveness, and knowing that he has forgiven me is the best part. Because when you do things on this earth, man will never forgive you. He always holds something over, because at one point I had gotten locked up. So they said that a person who commits a felony can't vote, but I didn't care about that because I never voted but once in my life, and that's when I was forced to do it. But, you know, these things, if you're a felony, you can't do this, you can't do that, you got to be on probation. But when I went to God and asked him to forgive me for the sins that had caused me to go to jail, I know that he forgave me and all was forgiven. It wasn't like he was holding something over my head, well, you know, Gail, you're on probation, so I can't forgive you till you get off probation. He forgave me then and there. So I always take my sins and ask my forgiveness from God, even though if I hurt somebody or do something to somebody, I let them know, you know, and try to ask them to forgive me. But I know God is the one who forgives me, and he loves me unconditionally compared to what man does. Because a man will tell you, yeah, I love you, I care for you, but when you try to get help from that person, they can come up with an excuse or a reason why they can't help you. But you go to God for help, he don't always be there when you ask him to be there. But when he comes, he's always on time, and I've learned that as well. Many a times God has got me out of predicaments and situations that I was in. And, you know, I'm just so grateful and so thankful that I believe and I know that there is a God. And I feel sorry for people who don't believe and don't accept God as their Lord and Savior, because I feel like this. I rather live and die not knowing. I'd rather live believing in God and die and find out there is not a God than not to believe and find out there is a God. That's how I feel about it, because I know that we came from sin where we had to be created from some super force, and God is that super force. So I just want to say that I love you, Terry, and I love, you know, you, Shalandra, and Elder Patterson. I love all of God's creation, because that's what God wants us to do, regardless of how people feel about me. If people don't like me, if people hate me, despise me, this and that, that's on them. But I love everybody because God has put that in me. That's the God in me. Now, I might get mad at you or upset at you or something like that, but trust and believe, I still love everybody.
Mm-hmm. And I want something that you said, and it makes a big point. You know, you said that you was able to forgive people, and that seems to be a big problem in our society today. People know they have messed up. People know they have hurt someone, and they will not part their mouth to say I'm sorry, because somewhere in their mind they thinking to be apologetic means they're weak, you know. But, you know, you got to humble yourself. And you got to be sincere. And when you ask for someone's forgiveness, you got to be sincere about that, because they can tell in your body language, the way you come off, and your actions, whether you're being sincere. You know, and I think that's a big thing, to be able to humble yourself and ask for forgiveness. And I think it's a big person
that can forgive you, because that's so, so very important. Because if we don't learn how to forgive on this side of eternity, how do we expect Jesus to forgive us before our Father? You know, and I want my listeners to know, please, if you have a testimony that you're willing to share, or someone that you're willing to reach out to, someone that's missing, someone that's disconnected, someone you just want to say, look, we parted in different ways that is not becoming to our friendship or our relationship. Can we talk? You know, or you got a family member that's missing, give a shout out. Just call 347-945-6003 and hit the 1 key, because that lets me know that you got a question or a comment you want to make. But, you know, sometimes even when you try to do the best that you can do, some people will not forgive you. Some people are stiff-necked and they want to hold on to that bitterness. But I'm telling you, if you don't forgive somebody, you cannot move on. Even though sometimes when you say, look, I'm sorry what I did, you humble yourself and people look at you like you're crazy, at least you did the right thing. But we're going to take a small break, let y'all go get y'all a glass of water, and we'll come back in 2 and 2.
Crying so many eyes. Trying to make it right, just didn't have the power, and you ignored all my tears in the hopes they disappear. Go, but I guess you just don't want to know. And if I had a dime for every time I tried to call your name, you tell me that I could cope. Well, 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 I discovered I could make it. Oh, in nights so long and cold, so cold, you don't know how cold. I discovered I could take it. Now I wouldn't change a thing, no, no. Not for the knowledge, not for the knowledge that I've gained. Let me say it like this, I learned that I could grow. I want you to know that I'm a woman. now feel that I'm a long way from where I used to be. I'm not what I'm gonna be, but I feel you just don't. Can anybody know what I'm talking about this evening? Yeah, I try to let it show. I really did. I tried to let it go. I really did. But I learned that I could grow.
But I can't.
You just don't wanna know.
That was a beautiful selection by Pastor Marvin Winans. I'm over it now, and they just don't want to know. And that's how it is with a lot of us in our life. You know, sometimes when we get to the point where we're just tired of being tired, and we just want to just stop the madness. Sometimes when you tell somebody that, you know, I'm going to change, they just don't want to hear it because they want to keep judging you about what you used to do, you know. But people don't get it, you know. We all got a past, and we all been through something, and we're going to continue to go through something. Sometimes you need to listen with your heart, not with your ears. When somebody come to you, you know, and they say they tired, they say they're going to change, give them the benefit of the doubt. I don't care if it's 75 times, 75. Give them the benefit of the doubt because God says to do that, you know, keep turning the other cheek. I know sometimes it's hard to keep getting smacked down, keep getting disappointed, but sometimes if we call ourselves children of the King, we got to keep getting back up. We got to keep extending that arm. We got to keep being that shoulder to cry on. We got to be that ear to listen with, you know. We got to have that tenderness in our spirit that we want to help somebody because, you know, it might be your words that might be the last thing that that person hears. It might be the difference between somebody taking their life or getting help for the things that's going on in their life. And, you know, that song, it says it so clear. Sometimes we tell somebody what's going on, they just don't want to know. They worry about me. But in society, it's a us thing. We got to do this thing together because one hand can't clap. One man don't live alone, so we need to do it together, you know. And I'm glad we're doing this show with Elder Gregory Damon Patterson, bringing the families back. It's a show about love. This is a show about, you know, reaching out. And just, you know, if you got to give a testimony, because we all have been through a test, so we all got a testimony, quiet as kept, you know. Whatever you need to get off of your chest. You know, if you just want to say thank you, Lord, you know, do that. You can call in at 347-945-6003 and hit the one key. Don't be ashamed. This is your time. You ain't got to worry about the person over there because you're trying to share what's in your heart. Because that person over there, when you go, you're going to have to be judged by yourself. You know, so
Amen.
Don't worry about what that person is doing or what she is doing or who's looking at you because salvation is an individual thing. If you just got to get up here and say, Elder Patterson, pray for me because I don't know how to pray because some people don't know how to pray. But I'll tell you what, if you try to pray, all you got to do is talk to him like you're talking to your daddy. But when you end your prayer, say, in Jesus' name, because Jesus is the mediator between us and God. Man will not see God. They got to go through Jesus, because if you don't go through Jesus, it's nothing but air up in the wind. It don't mean nothing, you know. So I'm telling you, this is your opportunity to get Elder Patterson to pray with you and for you if you need it. Just, you know, hit the one key. Tell us what you stand in need of, because this is your time to do it right now, because we're trying to bring the families back. And with that being said, we want to welcome back our guests and my co-host Shalonda and Elder Gregory D. Patterson.
Mm-hmm. I have something to say, if you don't mind, Miss Terry.
Talk yourself out, darling.
Okay, you know I have a little sister 17 years younger than me. And about maybe a little over two years ago, she just did something unthinkable that I would never do to any of my siblings, to me and my son. And since that day, we haven't really communicated. I stay away from her. She stay away from me. I don't speak to her mother. She don't speak to my mother, all types of stuff. And I can't, I mean, my father pleads with us to let it go. But I don't know what it is in my heart that I feel like I don't need to apologize for anything because I didn't do anything. And I am a bullheaded person. I'm a stubborn person. If I feel like I didn't do anything wrong, I don't need to apologize to you. You need to come to me and be the woman that you claim to be and apologize to me because I never, anybody who know me and Ariel know that I've always taken care of Ariel. From the day she was born. You know, I've raised her. She lived in my home as a teenager. You know, and I've always looked out for her. And for her to turn her back on us and leave us high and dry, especially with my child, I feel some kind of way about it. And I can't get past it. I don't know what it is. I don't know.
As much as I can pray
about it, I still can't get past it.
This
is up his alley.
Yeah, Shalonda, situations like that, you don't apologize for yourself, but you really apologize to free the other person. And whatever they do after you release them, that's on them. Because I have a little saying after I speak somewhere, I tell people all the time, I mean, I love you. And it matters not what you allow yourself to think about me, but it does matter how I allow myself to think about you, because I can't allow hate, matter, envy, or strife to cause me to die and lose my eternal salvation. And,
amen.
You know, I say that to you, too. You know, regardless, at the end of the day, when you stand before God, I mean, you're not going to stand for your sister, your mother, your father, or anybody else. You're going to stand for yourself, and you don't want anything to prevent you. And little stuff like that, I mean, you know, the Bible says that a little leaven destroys or it messes up the whole loaf. And little stuff like that, I mean, you know, sometimes we have to be the bigger person, and, you know, we have to go back and ask them for forgiveness. I mean, and the thing about it is, like, 9 out of 10, they're the ones that wronged you. But, right. You know, sometimes, I mean, that's all a part about being a disciple. I mean, when we take on the attributes of Christ, I mean, a lot of times we're going to have to go back and make recompense with people that have done us wrong. And, you know, and in the big picture, God is being glorified. I mean, that's our ultimate destination. Heaven is our goal. So a lot of times, you know, we have to humble ourselves and, you know, in order to make sure that we're in right standings with God. And you never know what, by you doing something like that, by going back to them and asking them that, I mean, you may bridge a gap that, you know, that only forgiveness could actually bridge. And you may slice that hardened heart. I mean, so, you know, you may be the avenue that God will use just to restore that relationship.
Right, and that's the way I always thought about it. But, I mean, this has been a constant with me and her throughout her entire life. I mean, I can remember back to when she was 2 years old, you know, and they allowed her to talk to me like I was nobody. You know, I think it was just maybe because we did grow up in two different time periods, and since I am 17 years older than her, but this is her general mindset, that she can do and say what she want to me, how she want to me, when she want to me, and she don't have any repercussions. And to this day, you know, neither one of her parents make her have repercussions for the things that she do. They come to her rescue, which I can't complain because, like I said, I was spoiled too. And they came to my rescue several times. But they did let me make mistakes where I had to learn on my own. Like when I failed out of college because they was paying my college tuition, they didn't pay for my last semester of college intentionally to make me pay for it if I wanted it that bad. Because I took it for granted. When I went to college, I partied. I was in the game room longer than I was in the classroom. And, you know, so they waited till I got to my last semester, said, I'm not paying for it. I'm not paying for books. I'm not paying for nothing, you know. And I had to go to work all day and go to school all night to get my degree because that's what I wanted. You know, I was right there. I needed that. But with her, she has no repercussion. And, I mean, to the point where when I had custody of my niece when she was a teenager also, which is a year older than my sister, she ran away from home because I wouldn't let her date a 20-year-old. She stayed at my stepmother and my sister's house for 6 months while I was questioned by the police about what I did to this child. You know, things like that. To me, after a certain point, I don't want to apologize. You know, and I know that's the stubbornness in me, and I got to get past it, but I just get tired of it. I guess that's what I'm saying.
Yeah, I mean, but my thing is, like I said, I still say, you know, free yourself.
Yeah.
I mean, whatever happens between, after you've gotten it off you, I mean, then that's pretty much on them.
Right.
But, I mean, by you bringing it up, I mean, you know, evidently it's something that bothers you. And whenever something bothers you it's almost like something that torments you. I mean, you know, we can push things aside. I mean, say, for instance, I could even go back a little deeper. The relationship that I had with my mother. I didn't have a relationship with my mother. I don't know if you remember that conversation we had before.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I did. Because I was in the same
situation. Know,
yeah,
and, you know,
full on
how,
mine.
When the situation happened where my kidneys went out, God wouldn't allow nobody to take care of me but my mother. And so I fell in love with my mother all over again. I love her to this day. And we never know the mind of God and why he does what he does. But I'm grateful that God was able to restore that relationship. It took me almost dying. I mean, he allowed the person that brought me into the world to make a decision to turn off the machine. And her decision was to, and her natural mind was to turn it off. So that let me know that, I mean, God was saying that, okay, you're no longer hers, but you're completely mine. But he, in the midst of that, he restored that relationship with me and my mother. We talk at least about two or three times a week, and I'm almost like a kid now because it really makes me feel good because throughout my years of ministry, and it's funny because I preached my initial sermon at 14 on her birthday. Her birthday was yesterday, well, on March the 8th. It made 22 years. But the thing about it was I've never, like, throughout all those years, like, she's never really been one of my supporters. My grandmother was always my supporter.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
And for me to have that relationship now, it just, you know, it just supersedes everything, and it's like I can go forward. And, you know, I didn't realize that a lot of those things affected me in my later years because regardless or not, I mean, we need each other. And for me not having that relationship, and I would see some of my friends and how they would interact with their mother, and I would long for that relationship. And even as I minister, sometimes those things would come out. I mean, people would think that I would be broken in the spirit or crying because of that. But no, because there was still a void within my life that needed to be filled.
Mm-hmm. Well, let me ask you this question. Now, as much as I know the right thing to do, it seems like sometimes it's hard to break away from. And I feel a certain kind of way about one of my sisters in Christ. This particular female, she just a bald-faced liar. That's quiet as kept. That's the truth. That's it. That's all. This person lie about calling me. This person, you know, just lie about stuff she tell me. And then when I say you didn't say that, she say that she did, you know. And because this person supposed to be better in her walk than most people because she always called herself a Christian. She always quoting some kind of scripture or whatever, whatever, and she always saying stuff like, thank God for Jesus. You know, that kind of hurts me because I feel like, you know, if I know you as a Christian warrior, not somebody in the street that don't know no better, it affects me when you look in my face and lie to me, and I know it's a lie, that sometimes I've gotten to the point that I feel a little bitter, like, don't even call me. I don't care if you don't call me, because I know that when I hear her voice, I can't believe what's coming out of her mouth. I have tried to reach out to this person. I've tried to do right by this person. I've tried to do more and beyond for this person, but this person, you know, just lie, 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 and to me, she just seems like an opportunist. And I'm just calling it like I said. And I feel angry sometimes when I say that because, you know, she takes me there. And as much as I, you know, pray and change this thing, it hasn't changed her yet. You know, how do I get past that? Because I'm trying not to feel all these things that happen in my life that haven't affected me in certain kind of ways. I want to be stronger so that it can roll down my back.
you know, but some things can't roll down my back because I feel like I'm stuck, and I need to get unstuck. And I mean,
well, you know, that's just real talk, you know.
Prayer
changes things, and it changes people, but you got to want to be changed. And that's one thing about God and the Holy, I mean, the Holy Ghost and God. I mean, he's never going, he's a perfect gentleman. He's never going to force himself on anybody. And, you know, some relationships are only for a season. And what we do more damage by trying to hold on to seasonal people. You know, like when their season is up, I mean, it's up to us.
When
do
you know that season is up? When do I, you know, because see, when you try,
you told
try
me
to
earlier
be
that
like,
that season been up. From what you just said, I mean, that season has been up.
But you can't tolerate
well, I feel like
it
is,
more.
Too,
that's
because, you know,
yeah,
and that's
I mean,
one thing
the,
that I find
when
is
you get to the moment when you
Christians,
can call somebody
you know,
a devil and a liar and all that stuff, then it's time to release. I mean, when Jesus realized what Judas had done, he released him. He told him to go and do what he had to do.
Okay. And thank you for telling me that because, you know, what I was trying to say is, you know, when you're a Christian, sometimes you never know when to give up because you want to make sure that you try to be forgiven. You try to do what Jesus would do, even though we're not Christ. Sometimes being a Christian makes you want to do more, hang in there longer, be whipped more, you know. And I'm getting tired of being whipped in this relationship.
Well,
being
a Christian doesn't make us foolish. You know what I mean?
Okay,
and that's
well,
why I call you foolish. But I'm just saying,
but
you know,
I have been.
we have to draw the line. And the thing about it, like I always tell people, judgment works both ways. And I mean, in the world calls it karma. And you know, think about this: when the Bible says when Jesus comes, he's going to come either with a reward. He's going to say, "Well done, thy good and faithful servant," or he's going to say,
"That's
depart from me." So the thing about it is, like I said, certain things, God will never do for you what he's already given you the power to do for yourself. So certain situations, when you see them, those situations are weighing you down and ain't causing you no good, you got to learn to say the benediction to them and say, "May the Lord watch between me and thee while we're asking one from another," and send them on their way.
Amen. Oh, amen.
And it's okay.
Okay.
You know, because I mean, you may be holding up somebody else, another relationship or another good friendship that God wants to send your way. He's not going to send it your way as long as you're holding on to these no good people.
I heard that because there are a whole bunch of them flocking around you. Sometimes I don't know if it's envy, jealousy, or just, you know, you just don't get it. But, you know, some people, they just parasites. All they want is what they can get from somebody. They don't want to do nothing for themselves. They always got an excuse, and they want to wear you down, you know, talk your ear off complaining, and then lie behind your back that, you know. But I know I've heard at one church I was in Maryland, and the preacher will always say, if I reach out and you don't reach back, then he's going to keep it moving. And so I guess you made a good point. If I got to say all these things, then that season is over.
It is.
And I thank you for that. Now, Shalonda got another question. So, Shalonda, you go ahead and ask that question because I'm going to have to do some technical stuff here real quick.
Okay. I am a person who literally, when they say you want a person to keep it real, I have a habit, a true habit of just, I think sometimes I just keep it too real with people. And I always pray, especially when I get, like, really emotional about something and, like, say I'm at work or something, I always pray, "Lord, please keep my tongue, keep my tongue, keep my tongue." It don't work. It really doesn't work. And I really don't set out to hurt people's feelings, but it's just something in me that just comes, I don't know, I always tell people it's the Indian in me because my grandmother, who was a purebred Indian, she was the same way. But I just it just comes out, and I don't know how to. I pray about it all the time. I really, really do, and that's the funny part about me. That's why I say I make no apologies because I honestly, truly think about what I'm going to say to people before I say it, and I try to be as nice and as gentle and as humble as possible. Like when Miss Terry said, you know, she pray about it, but it just don't change things, and I don't know what else to do. I'm just one of them people, I guess. I don't know, but everybody tell me I hurt their feelings, and I really don't set out to do that, you know. So I don't know how to come across some people, because like you said, they are in your life for most of them for a reason, you know, more than a reason. And, I mean, I'm one of them people that let you go. It'll make me, you know, never mind, because at the end of the day, like you said, I'm the only one that got an answer for me. But I'm just one of them people. I mean, I know I get on the radio and I'm like, oh, I don't say that. Oh, I don't do that. No, I'm a wild person. I'm as wild as Miss Terry is. It's just that if she comes.
I'm into that. Pop the brakes. I'm just clowning.
And I actually get it from her, from watching her as I grew up. And I just I swear, ever since I was a teenager and I used to hang around Miss Terry a lot, I just became this person that
quick.
I can't pull back.
Be over, pow, pow.
Oh, wow.
So that's the only thing. I mean, I don't know what type of prayer, what type of practice. I just don't know. I just completely, when I open my mouth, everything that I'm thinking just falls right on out. Whichever way I thought about it is the way it comes out. And I really don't mean that to people. But like I said, I'm just not an apologizer. So I just don't never apologize, for it.
In situations like that, I mean, I would say you just have to, you really have to pray and ask God to bite your tongue.
God, I did.
Because, I mean, seriously, I mean, the Bible tells us that the power of life and death is in the tongue.
Right.
That tongue can destroy. I mean, and I've been there too, because like I told you, when my father died, I watched him die of cancer, and that really hurt me.
Mm-hmm.
So the worst thing that you could ever do is when you're going through something, I mean, when you're really going through something, and what I did the week that he died, I watched him die of cancer, and we buried him, and then I went to do a revival. I'll never forget it in Boston. And, you know, I went hard because I was still grieving. I was hurt. I mean, I was, you know, if I could say I was, you know, like what the Bible said, he that believeth shall be saved, and he that believeth not shall be damned. So I was damning everything. I was pretty much sitting, you know, just saying, because I was ministering out of my hurt, out of my pain, and that's one of the worst times you could ever actually minister, because I mean it's like you're not conscious about what you say, and you got to realize that there's still souls. I mean, these are still souls, and you know. That's one thing that when you asked if there's something that we could apologize for, that relationship will never be the same. That's something I've tried to reach out to these people in Boston. I mean, because they used to bring me to the church since I was a little boy. But, you know, they always tell me, I'm going to call you back or whatever, because I wanted to talk to them and apologize. So they never called me back. But I've tried to reach out to them like three times. And, you know, that's another thing. It always bothers me because I really love these people. I mean, but... You know, to think about it, like I said, I was hurt, and I allow my hurt to come out on people.
Yeah. So do you think that I do that just maybe because there's some underlying issue with, like, me?
We have to talk about that offline, but
yeah.
I can tell you about you already.
I'm going to need some friends.
Yeah, I can tell you about you already. I mean, I think that there's a lot of deep-seated hurt.
Yeah.
And there's a lot of things. I mean, and even as I speak to you, I mean, you know, I can hear God saying that you've got to learn how to forgive yourself.
Mm-hmm.
And, I mean, you've got to learn how to forgive people and release them and let God deal with them. I mean, you know, because the Bible says that vengeance, it belongs to God. And from just listening to you, you're the type of person that you want to see vengeance. You want to see you want to see them hurt as bad as you hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And sometimes
I always,
that's
when
mind.
I was younger, say vengeance is mine.
But yeah, it's not yours. I mean, it belongs to God, and God, He's not gonna give you that satisfaction. He's gonna deal with them in their own way. But you know, as He draws you closer, then that's when He starts dealing with those that have hurt you.
But
so,
you
I mean,
know,
you gotta channel that.
Yeah, you said something, Elder Patterson, when you just said to Shalonda about hurt, and I'm just thinking about this situation with this lady, my Christian sister, you know, and I think that's what it boils down to. I think I'm hurt, and the reason I think I'm hurt is because by me coming from Baltimore and coming down here, you know, I'm a little probably flamboyant in the way I do things, and a lot of people don't really understand me because I'm loud.
I'm colorful, and they just think I'm over the top. And people don't spend the time to really get to know me except for a few people. And one of those people is Sister Hope, man. She knows that I'm out there, but she helps me by sharing Jesus, and she gives me good advice and good counsel. But this other lady that, she came from up north as well, I know that she has went through some things in her life, because we all have, but she has. And, I felt like I tried to befriend her and try to be supportive, because I knew she felt like she didn't fit, and then it just hurts me, I guess, because when I'm spending my money on you, to do things for you that I know you could appreciate having done for you, and then you turn right around and lie to my face, I guess I feel hurt, and I guess I'm a person that I am not used to. If I embrace you in my space, I want to keep you, because I don't trust women, really, and so when I embrace a female into my space, I want to keep you. I want to try to be honorable in my dealings with you. I want to be the kind of person that, I'm telling the truth, I got your back, and I feel like if I can work hard at being that kind of person that is treating you with love, with respect, and being honest and straight with you, I get hurt when I don't get that back, especially when I'm not getting anything from you, I'm not asking you nothing for me that really requires anything, because anything that I would have asked you to do, I've done it because I want to bless you without it being like a charity case, because I don't need you to take me nowhere. I got a car, and if I don't have a car, I can pay for a cab, or whatever. But, I guess when you said that word hurt, something just went off in my brain, ding, 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 ding. It is. I'm hurt.
In your situation, let's take it to Calvary. How you think Jesus feel? How you think Jesus feel?
Even worse than
how
that,
how he gave
man.
His life for us.
Gave his life,
He died for us. And we crucified him all over again.
Exactly.
I mean, and all he ever wanted us to do was just to be in right relationship with him and the Father.
Mm-hmm.
That's all. I mean, that was his whole mission, was to reconcile man back to God.
Right.
But, you're
right.
Still,
we
crucify him daily. I mean, in our deeds and our actions and our words and, in our relationships and just all kinds of stuff. So, I understand how you feel, trust me, on the natural side. But as you grow in God, I mean, you're going to experience even more of this.
Mm-hmm.
Why? Because the Bible says that we're in the world, but we're not of the world. And the more we try to fit in, we're never going to be able to fit in. When you start trying to live for God, you're going to really start seeing people what they really are.
Yes,
and that's
what
the Bible says. That's what I say. The Bible says we got to look at men as trees.
Mm-hmm.
You got to know how to put them on and put them, wear them like a loose garment. You got to know how to put them on and take them right back off.
Mm-hmm.
And that's
you're right about
is.
That. And I want all my guests and my listeners to know that call 347-945-6003. Hit the one key if you got a question. We're going to take a real small break so Elder Patterson can get him some water and wet his whistle, because I'm getting a little parched myself. And we're going to come back in 2 and 2.
When you've done all you can, and seems like it's never enough, and what do you say when your friends turn away, and you're all alone, tell me, what do you give when you give it? Nothing left to do, you just stand.
watch the Lord see you through. Yes, after you've done all you can, you just
everybody for tuning in to Unmasked with authors Terry E. Lau and Shalonda. I just see a message that says the DDoS attack has been bypassed and Blog Talk Radio is now stable. So that probably was the problem we had when we first came on at 7:30 and we had to resume a half hour late. There was something going on within the system. But that song was Donnie McClurkin and Stan, and in that song it says sometimes you just got to pray and cry. You know, sometimes when you're by yourself and you're going through some things, that's all you can do is pray and cry. And sometimes, you know, joy will come in the morning. And I'm glad that I just realized, you know, it's time, you know, to just make sure I understand when there in my life for a reason or for a season. And I don't know what the reason was that this person was in my life, but their season is up, with a capital U and a capital P, because this female, you know, I hate looking at her face. Sometimes I even dread seeing her phone number, because when she calls, I know it's some mess, it's some gossip, it's putting somebody down. She's always a victim, and she lied to my face. I'm so sick of it. But, you know, she knows who she is. We go to the same church, you know. So just so you know, your season is up. I'm done with you. And I'm back with Elder Patterson. Let me ask you a question, Elder Patterson. You know, when you say that, like when you just let somebody go, you dismiss them, you know, does it seem normal to feel a kind of bad that you had to say that, you know? It don't seem like there's no joy in saying that, but that's the reality. Elder Patterson, you still here, darling?
Oh, I have my mute button on. Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Oh, okay. Yeah, there's no joy in sorrow. I mean, so, you know, it's almost like you're burying a person and they're still alive.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, that's basically what you have to do.
Wow. Yes. Yeah. Well, we got a lot of callers on the line, but no one is pressing that one key. And I know everybody out there got a testimony. Everybody has been tested. Everybody got somebody that they wish they could connect with. And everybody got somebody that, you know, they would like to talk to. This is your opportunity, because we got 11 minutes and we're counting down. If you want to call in and give a comment, ask a question, or give your personal testimony, call in at 347-945-6003. If you're already on the switchboard, like I see a lot of people are, just hit the number one key, and it will let me know that you're brave enough to say something. It's okay. We won't bite. We got Elder Patterson with us in Shalonda. We won't bite you. But Elder Patterson, could you tell people about your ministry?
I didn't catch the question.
Could you tell people about your ministry? What do you do?
Yeah, well, basically, I mean, I've been a minister since I was 14 years old. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
I'm a big blogger, so I blog a lot. You know, you could catch me on Facebook, Twitter, Instagram. I mean, those are my sites. My goal is to write another novel. I mean, it's entitled, If You Can Survive the Church, Then You Can Survive the World.
Amen.
I kind of started a few years ago, but I kind of want to go with another twist. So, you know, I don't want to release it premature. So, you know, I'm still working on it.
Well, in case you, when you are ready to get that book out and running, my good friend Gail Delicious Johnson, she's a publisher of JJ Publishing, and she gives you a personal touch, and she will be there. And my God, her graphics team and her editorial team, they are awesome. You know, so if you're looking for somebody who's reasonable, who's fair, you know, I can hook you up with JJ Publishing, you know, to help you get to the next step.
Oh, definitely that. I mean, like I said, I also want to do a little bibliography, so she can definitely be of an assistance. I mean, you know, it's always good to support those that support you.
Amen, amen. Shalonda, do you have another testimony? Because other than your son, something about you personally, because we all been through it. You know, and sometimes I believe that it's good when you share your wounds and other people know what you've been through, they can open up and they can release something that's got them binded. You know, cause a lot of times, you know, a person can't come to me and tell me I should do this or I should do that if they don't have any wounds, because sometimes I believe you don't know what I've been through. So when someone say they've been through something and they can share that, that helps me know that, okay, I'm not going through this alone. And I see right now we do have Gail on the mic, and she got a statement or question. I'm going to put it right in. Okay, Gail, you're on, darling.
Hey, I just want, you know, I had thought about this for a while, Terry, and I just want to let everybody know how we met. This is a little testimony that I'm giving up for my sister by another mother, Terry Lyles. And I actually really feel that you are my sister. You know, I know you are my sister in Christ, but I'm talking about a close, close feeling in my heart, you know, that you are my blood sister is what I'm feeling. And how we met was last year in 2013 at a book festival that was given by Lamont Carey here in the metropolitan area. And it's so funny that I know that God puts people in your life for a reason. And Terry was just, you know, walking around being her friendly self, and she stopped at my table. We chatted for a few minutes, and she gave me her business card. And, you know, when people give me their business cards, I have a place that I put, you know, my new business cards that I'm getting from people that I just meet, and then business cards from people that I've met a long time ago. She also gave me a magnet business card, which I had put on my little refrigerator in my office. No, I put it up next to my desk. It's next to my desk, I'm sorry. And, you know, so then she said she did a radio show. So I called her, and, you know, we did the radio show. And then for some reason, I just got this feeling of her being a person that God had really wanted us to, you know, hook up the way that we did, because it wasn't by coincidence that we met at that book fest. And the strange thing about it, I had almost not gone to it because I kept saying to myself, how is this going to be? Am I going to get these sales, this and that, you know, thinking this, that. But then some just said, well, go on and go, and the most you can do is network with people and meet different people that can maybe take you to a higher level, or that could help you, you know, whatever it is that you're trying to get done. So anyway, I went on the blog talk on her radio show, WJMEL, and I had a wonderful time. And I've never been on a show like Terry's before, because she was so open, so friendly, so upfront, and we just laughed and had a good time. And Terry has been there with me ever since, through my good times, my bad times, and I call her when I want to vent or when I'm having problems or whatever, and she's always, always there for me. And, you know, I know that she's my friend because she makes time for me regardless of whatever's going on in her schedule or whatever. And if she don't, she'll let me know, opposed to, you know, other people I call. Well, I'll call you back, and you never hear from them, you know.
Mm-hmm.
So I just wanted to say that I love you, Terry, again and again, and I can't say that enough. And, you know, I am glad that we did meet that particular day. And like I said, it wasn't a coincidence. It was God just opening another door for the both of us, you know, because I've learned a lot of things from you. And, you know,
well,
we exchanged ideas, right? We exchanged ideas, and we laughed, and we talked, and we joked, and, we, you know, we just have a good time. So I love you, I love you, I love you. And that's just my little testimony of how Terry E. Lyles came into Gail Johnson's life back last year in June. Was that June or July?
We both.
Yeah, so I just wanted to, you know, because I never gave that little testimony, but that's, you know, something that I just really wanted to say. And I thank you for that, darling.
Love you, too.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, wow. Don't make me sit up here and well up in my eyes, get tears, and I'm not a crybaby.
Well, you know, that's how I feel sometimes, you know, like I say, when you be giving your testimonies on the show and stuff, it just sort of like, it just brings something out of me and just makes me feel a certain way, you know. So I'm glad and I appreciate you for that, you know, because you really bring things out of me. And I'm quite sure if it comes out of me, it comes out of other people as well, because we're all human, we all have feelings, we all have conscience, and, you know, so If it hits me like that, I'm quite sure it hit Elder Patterson, and it also hit Shalandra and the other listeners out there. So, yeah.
Yeah, because I had Elder Patterson on my other show, the WMEL 104.1 Author's Corners episode, and before that show, I was a little afraid to have him on because I had a whole lot of risque stuff on there. And when he said that he wanted to come on the show, I said, well, look, you're going to be on a hot seat. I ain't sparing nothing. Not just because you're the man of the cloth, I'm going to get you like I get everybody else. But didn't he humble me, man? He was praying. I mean, he had, you know, my spiritual side hearing
his story. You know, and that's a problem sometimes. Our spiritual beings, we don't let it hear what we need to hear. We rather let our worldly person hear all the other stuff. But, you know, I was so glad because when he came on my show, Author's Corners, it just turned things around because it went from smutty, muddy, muddy to, you know, hallelujah, thank you, Jesus, having church up in there. And, you know, he never judged me. And he know I'm off the hook. He know that. But, you know, I thank him for being in my life, and I thank him for his quotes that he posts on Facebook that are very encouraging. And mm-hmm. I think the combination of things like you, Gail, my mom, Sister Holt, Greg, Shalonda, and certain people, you know, that's very reassuring in sharing Jesus with me. You know, it's getting more than I'm getting back to my spiritual person and less of the worldly person. And sometimes it just takes steps, you know, precept on precept. And I'm starting to go in the right direction. It's like that little game we played when we was kids. Mother, may I take a giant step? All this, whatever that little game was, you know. But
1, 2, 3, real life.
Yeah, that's what it was. Yeah, you know, that game. And I'm just trying to let God orchestrate my steps. And I'm trying to make sure I catch up with my friends who's on the straight and narrow, because that's the only way we're going to get there, because that wide, well-trodden road is not the way to go. The Bible tells you that. So I'm trying to get back online, you know, focus, and we're getting ready to run out of time here. So, Elder Patterson, is there any last words you want to say about your book, your website, how to reach you? And then I'm going to get to my co-host, because we are counting down. Hello?
Hello?
Yes, Gregory Patterson. Are you still there, darling?
Yeah, I'm having multiple conversations.
Okay, well, it's time to get and tell people about your book, because we're counting down in seconds, literally, right now.
Oh, okay. Well, basically, I mean, like I said, the one that I had out, I mean, it's, you know, that's it's over 6 years now. He took the pain, but he left the memories. And I don't even think they're even republishing that anymore. But hopefully, like I said, I'm going to get a good deal on the next one. I've already, you know, established the topic and stuff like that. I'm just trying to pull different ideas because, I mean, I don't want to launch anything prematurely because it won't reach and it won't accomplish what I've set it out to do. And coming on forums like this, I mean, it just shows me, you know, where I'm weak and where I'm strong, because, you know, I pull from you guys as well. I mean, you know, your stories and the questions that we ask each other, we feed off of each other. It allows mm-hmm. me to brainstorm even further. So, you know, I'm very thankful to all of you guys, even to Ms. Gail. You know, when she posts under my Facebook statuses, and she challenges me as well. So I'm very thankful
all right.
for all of you.
You're welcome, darling.
But you know something, Elder Patterson, you have some awesome quotes, you know, because they're always about God and about how to get your life on track and don't hold on to this, you know. And, you know, I like looking at them because it makes me think. And also, sometimes when you see the right thing in print, it makes you just say, okay, let me get focused, you know, I can do better, you know. And I appreciate that you're posting that on there instead of some of the things that are posted, you know. And I guess I can be called guilty of posting stuff too. But, you know, I like to be funny, you know. And some things, you know, it's funny. It might be worldly, but it's funny, you know. And so, you know, I'm working through, and I'm growing as a Christian. You know, I haven't finished growing, but I'm growing still. You know, I had the right foundation from the start, so it wasn't like I started late. My mother always had me grounded in what we're supposed to be doing, so I thank you for those things that, you know, inspire me when I see them.
Oh, well, thank you. I mean, and like I said, that's what it's all about. And, I mean, all of my posts are not spiritual, I mean, as you can see. I like to have fun because, I like you said, that, you know, we're still earthly people, we're just having a spiritual experience. And, you know,
mm-hmm.
a lot of times, like I said, you know, I deal with the masses, and I have to reach people where they are. And that's how Jesus was. I mean, you know, when he spoke in parables and, you know, when he dealt with the woman that was caught in the act of adultery, I mean, you know, he began to write on the ground. And, I mean, he spoke in a language that she could understand. And he asked her, where was her accusers? And she said, I don't have any. And he said, neither do I. He said, now go your way and sin no more. And a lot of times I think that if you can connect with the soul of a person and get them to think outside of the box, then, I mean, then you've gained a friend. Then you've gained you want a soul to Christ.
Exactly, exactly. Well, Shalonda, darling, is there something you would like to say before we get up out of here?
Not really.
I can't hear you. Speak
like
up, honey.
Can you hear me?
Yeah, I can hear you now.
Okay.
I can hear you now.
I just like to say that I am a work in progress. I love talking to you all the time. Gregory, I love it. I love your Facebook posts. Some days I'll be sitting at my desk about to go crazy, and you'll just put something up on Facebook, and I'm like, that's so true. Why am I even acting like this? It doesn't even matter at the end of the day, you know. So I do thank you for that. I'm so glad you're my friend on Facebook, because you just don't know how many times you catch me about to go there, and I don't. I just like to thank everybody. I love Gail. I love you, Miss Terry. You know that. I'm a huge fan of Terry Lyle. And I'm glad that I'm now friends with Elder Patterson. And hopefully I'll be able to talk to you offline sometimes about some things that run through my mind, you know, instead of being on the radio trying to put you in the hot seat.
Please.
And now lay down on the couch. But that's all. I'd just like to thank you, everybody, for being in my circle, because, you know, you can't do better till you know better. And
that's right.
As I learn and watch other people, I learn, you know.
Wow, that's right. So, Gail, before we go, is there anything you would like to say before we get up off the air?
Yes, I do appreciate this show, Terry, that you did this evening. I appreciate you, Elder Patterson, for coming on. And Shalonda, as always, you're the hostess with the mostest, the co-hostess with the mostest. And I appreciate you guys for that. And, you know, always, you know, I keep God first in my life, regardless to, you know, how I carry on my life in the presence of man. But God knows that he comes first in my life and always will. And true, I'm of the flesh. I am weak, but I'm not using that as an excuse, because I am climbing that ladder of love and honor and respect to,
Amen.
You know, to my fellow man and to God and to everybody else. So I act a fool at times, too. That's expected, because that's me, you know, but I also have a serious side. And, you know, I'm in tune to both of them, because God gave us a serious side and a side to be humor. You know, he gave that to us, and we are supposed to use it. So I use that along with my talents and whatever else he gave me, you know, because he gave that to me as a gift, and it's not mine to keep. So I'm sharing it with everybody who I come in contact with by having my company up. So, you know, people who want to have a book published and, you know, see their dreams in print. That's what I'm here for, you know. So like Terry had mentioned, you know, if you ever wrote a book or would like to write a book or whatever, you can visit my website, which is jjpublishing.com, and, you know, I can make that happen for you. So it's not me, it's God. It's the God in me. So with
Amen.
That being said, you know, thank you, Terry, very much.
Anytime, darling. So we're going to play this tune at last by Etta James, and we want to, again, thank our special guest, Elder Gregory Damon Patterson, and he knows anytime he got a show idea or he need me to help him, I got your back, darling. Just call a sister, inbox me. You know how to reach me. I'm down for you, you know, and that's because we got love, man, you know, and I love you for what you're doing for other people and what you do for me. I love my sister, Gail, and I love Shalonda, the little thing that I saw raised up, you know, a little something. I love the young lady. And I thank James Halsey out of Baltimore, Maryland, for hanging in there and listening in, and my beautiful mother that's kind of quiet tonight, but I'm going to put her on the mic. She's going to have to say good night on the air. How you doing, Mother dear?
I'm doing just fine, my dear.
Oh,
hi, darling. How are you?
And I just want to say I really was blessed by the elders talking. He was great. All of your guests was very good. I enjoyed it.
Oh, thank you very much.
You're so welcome.
Yes, indeed. I hope I get to hear you again very soon.
Please, please, please do.
Yeah, you heard, Gail and Shalonda were saying hi. I guess you didn't hear them say hello.
Well, hello, Gail and so Yolanda. You both
take
care.
How are you?
And have a blessed evening.
You too. You too, dear.
Thank you.
Yes, now I'm going to ask Mr. Halsey. I see he's still online to say hello. He's so quiet, but I'm going to put him in anyway. James Halsey, are you there with us, darling?
Yeah.
How you doing? Halsey?
No, I ain't going to press the button to talk to her.
We hear you talking. Hello?
Hello.
Good. How you doing this evening?
I'm doing fine.
I'm glad that you're listening in from Baltimore. How's the weather up there?
Cold. That's
Oh, it's nicer down here. Well, I just thank you for supporting our radio show and, you know, and listening in. And anytime you get a chance to hear Elder Gregory D. Patterson, you will be blessed. And, you know, just so y'all know, that he is the junior minister under Hezekiah Walker, the Grammy Award winner, singer, and the one who had that song earlier, Lord, Do It For Me. That was his song. And the brother Elder Patterson can sing a little bit, too. So before I get off the air, Elder Patterson, can you just grace us with a little tune before we get off the air?
Lord, that's
going to
be a blessing in itself.
Miss Terry, I know you're not going to put me on the spot like that.
Yes, I am.
Lord, but the Bible does say be ye also ready, right?
Yes, indeed. He did say that.
Just another day that the Lord has kept me. Just another day that the Lord has kept me. He has kept me from all evil. And my mind stayed on Jesus. It's just another day that the Lord has kept me.
Amen. Go home with your
best. Amen to that. Thank you.
Amen.
Thank you, Jesus.
The brother is bad. That's what I'm talking about. Just another day.
When you have another
Lord.
Bucket, I'll buy it.
That's right. Well, you are our guest tonight, Elder Patterson. I'm going to give you a last chance to say whatever you need to say, and then we got to get up out of here.
Well, I mean, like I said, I thank you guys for tuning in. I mean, it's truly been a blessing. I mean, I've gotten so much insight off of this, just this forum. I mean, when the Lord spoke to me back in January, and I think me and Miss Terry, I mentioned it to her, I really wanted to go in another direction, but I'm glad that it went the way that it did tonight. There were several people that were supposed to call in, but because of, I think, with the first part that was messed up, they had other obligations to take care of, and hopefully we'll be able to do something like this again. Because I'm working on the Mephibosheth syndrome. Most of you that know the story about Mephibosheth, how he was dropped at birth, and he became lame on both feet. And, you know, how, you know, he was able to sit at the king's table being lame. And, you know, I'm working on something that, you know, God knew all about our hang-ups and our setbacks. He knew all about us being crippled when he called us, but he wants us instead. So, so just by talking to you guys tonight, I mean, it is really birthed something new within me, a passion, because, you know, I want to go after those that are lost, those lost sheep, and those that have been wounded in the house. And, you know, there's so many people that are in church and that are going through so many things because of, you know, they've been silenced because of, you know, of what they've gone through in church and in life. And, you know, if we can ever heal those people, I think that we can bring about a change in the body of Christ.
Amen, amen, and I agree with that. And I just want to, Mom, you want to say something?
I just want to tell him thank you, because he really brought light to your life. When he talks,
yes, he has. Yes,
you
he
feel
has.
It. You feel it from the heart.
You can
hear.
Yeah,
thank you.
Pray for me, Mother. I mean, you know, like I said, I'm young. I mean, you know, I started
when
I was 14.
Well, you see it moving on. This is great.
Yes,
ma'am. This is great.
Yes, it's been almost 23 years, and I'm still holding on. And I love God more today than I did yesterday. And, people ask me all the time, you know, what's the difference of now than then? I think I've fallen in love with him now. Back then,
Amen.
I served him because I knew about him, but now I've learned to love him.
Well, we're going to do some
little good.
We're going to do something a little different. I'm going to ask my mother to say a prayer for
us. No, I'm not. I don't want to mess up a good thing.
No,
I'm not
my mother, she's a warrior. This woman, she can preach.
Karen.
I mean, she can pray up a storm. But if you're bashful, I'm going to let Elder Pastor end it, but I want you to pray for us because this woman can pray.
Terry,
so you feel
I
up to the mom giving us a prayer, and then I'm going to let Elder Pastor finish it up in the prayer
I'm not giving you one, darling. I'm not giving you one.
Okay, she won't be in a hot seat. Okay, well, Elder Patterson, darling, end us out with a prayer, please, as we bow.
Thank you, dear. Thank you.
Eternal God, we thank you for this night. O shata yando bo shiti ananamasi. God, God, we thank you, God, for what our hearts have felt tonight, God. We thank you for your presence even on the airway tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, the word declares, God, that we will hide the word of God in our heart that we may not sin against you, God. And, God, if we've done or said anything to get the glory, God, we give it back to you, God, tonight, God, in the name of Jesus, God. We pray, God, that somebody's heart has been touched on the line tonight, God, that they may cry, what must I do to be saved, God? And, God, we ask you, God, to continue, God, to bless Sister Terry, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, whatever our hands shall touch, God, cause it to prosper, God, in the name of Jesus, God. Oh, God, we ask you, God, to bless every listener tonight, God. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.
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 Thank you for that.
Amen.
I love you, Gregory. You know, you're the one I go to when I need somebody to bring on the word of God on the show. You're the man. You're my friend. If you ever need me for something, just call me. You got my number. You know how to reach me, whether it's Facebook, Twitter, or just call my 10 digits, and you got me. I'm there.
I got you. All right. Thank you very much.
Anytime. And that's it for authors. No, this is not authors. This is Unmasked on Blog Talk Radio. Yo, and this is At Last by Etta James.
This is your host, authoress Terry E. Lyle. I am so glad you spent the evening with me because you didn't have to be, but you did. So join me next Friday at 7:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time. Me and Shalonda are going to bring you some interesting story that you're just going to love. We're going to go to the known, to the unknown, to the up, to the down, to the east, to the west, to the wild side, to the calm side. We're just going to bring it to you live. We're going to talk real because this is an adult show. We don't play. We don't play with little kitties. But if you want to tune in or just listen in, call 347-945-6003.